CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 194, recorded March 25th, 2016. I am your host, Daron Land, sitting in for Michael Swift this week. Along with me is Megamus.
Hello.
Hello. I think we got his audio issues sorted out here, but
bet on it.
If he sounds a little bit loud.
Hey, I'm a knock on wood. I just knocked on wood for you.
It sounded more like metal, but...
Hey, this is a big-ass wood desk, and it's got my mic stand on it. What do you expect?
But after some of the issues that we had last week with audio and everything, I'd rather somebody be too loud than not loud enough, and you can't hear them. So, if you know, we're trying to get some of these issues sorted out. So just bear with us, having some software and hardware issues and everything. But anyway... also with this is Plasticon.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Also in
costume. I'm here.
We have Spike and Sparkplug.
Yes.
Yes.
And Jim Black, a.k.a. Moroni Prime.
And I am not Daron Land.
No, you're not. Nobody can be except me, because I have the market on me. Nobody else will want to be me anyway. I have my own problems. Unless you want diabetes and a cat that, like, annoys you, like Dawn, you know. Dawn has a cat that annoys him and attacks him on a regular basis. But anyway.
Speaking of Dawn, we missed you tonight, dude. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. But you know what? You go, boy. That's all I'm going to say on that. A cat like Dawn. But anyway, we're going to be talking about Masterpiece tonight. You know, it's something that I've actually thought about a little bit this week. We touched on it, or I touched on it last episode, because of a discussion that I was a part of in a Masterpiece group on Facebook, and some of the things that was said in there got me to thinking about one thing, and then I got to thinking about something else. And I'm like, you know what? There's so many topics that could go hand in hand with Masterpiece and what makes a Masterpiece Transformer a Masterpiece. Originally, we started out with MP01, and now we've got like MP10 all the way. We're getting ready to have MP31, 32, and people are getting hot and heavy into this Masterpiece thing, and I'm right there with them. So we're going to talk about what makes a Masterpiece a Masterpiece. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Check us out on Twitter, at TFYLP, watching the feed now. So if you mention something on there, tweet us, at TFYLP, and tell us what you think on the subject. We're also on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, the TFYOP Podcast Facebook group. Search us out. Join us on there if you haven't already. And we're watching that that topic right now. It's pinned to the top. Check that out and be a part of the discussion. Also, we're going to get our sponsors out of the way here. Check out CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, where you can save even more with a customer loyalty program. And with orders of $150 or more, you can save with free domestic shipping. There's a lot of great things up there for pre-order, and I believe Groove is up for pre-order already on Capture Prey. So check that out. On a related note with Capture Prey, check out the unofficial BotCon kickoff party at the Zone Comics Wednesday night before BotCon. Going to be a lot of stuff there to look at. You can buy stuff early if you want to avoid some heavy lines at the at BotCon. You can buy stuff from Capture Prey at the Zone Comics in St. Matthews, Kentucky, April. What is it? 4th, I believe, which is that Wednesday. No, I think whatever that Wednesday is, I think it's April 6th, at 6 PM, at the Zone Comics in St. Matthews, Kentucky. Also, for your third party needs, there will be a room, at the, I believe the Hyatt just down the street. It's 2 blocks from, where BotCon's going to be at. Capture Prey will have some third-party products there for you if you are interested in purchasing third-party products. Plus, if you're going to BotCon, Capture Prey will have a full line of official products for you at BotCon as well. Also, check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. You can find Mega Toy Fan at the biggest toy conventions year-round, just recently at Jolanta in Atlanta, Georgia, and coming up in a couple weeks, it's going to be at BotCon. So check out Mega Toy Fan for all your vintage toy needs. Lots of great stuff there, and you can always find like weapons, pieces, to things that you already have that you might want to complete. Brett, you're going to have room-to-room trading tonight, at BotCon with Parts Party?
I don't know about tonight. Might be a little sparse tonight. You know what? Come on, Everett. If anyone wants to come over to my house, we'll do some room. You know, we'll do some parts trading. But no, we will start probably Thursday. Tuesday. Tuesday or Wednesday. And we'll, of course, post it everywhere. And this year we are actually bringing all the parts, all the thousands and thousands of parts. So
because it's not that far for you to bring it all.
Nope. Just an hour, almost about an hour and a half. So we're pretty close.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of great stuff going to go on at BotCon. Hope to see you there. I have to admit I'm having a little issue at work right now. They're denying my vacation, so I've reached a bit of a conundrum. I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but I'm working on that hard. I will be there because I live 30 minutes away, so I will be at BotCon.
You should be able to make it, no problem. One other thing I wanted to include, and for lack, I don't know if he's got a screen name or not. He's just Chuck Lee. He is going to be raffling off a vintage Grand Maximus.
Yes.
At our parts party. Yes. So. And I'm not sure exactly. I know that there's we could probably get a link to his, what he's got going on. And that way you'll be able to read up on it. I can't remember exactly, but I know that you can buy tickets for the raffle, and the prize is going to be a grand prize of a Grand Max.
And that is something a lot of people would die to have. I would love to have a Grand Max. I mean, and it's a vintage toy at that. So that you can't get any better than that. So a lot of great things going on at BotCon. Again, the party at the Zone, I'm calling it a party because I really don't know what else to call it. But it's kind of like a BotCon preview for Captured Prey and in the zone. But if you don't know where the zone's at, you can find them on Facebook and ask for directions on there. And we're going to try to find a way to get more information out as on both of these things as they come available. I'm sure Brett will also share his room number on the Facebook page, and I can also tweet it on Twitter if you are trying to find Brett at the Galt Hotel. Are you staying at the Galt, Brett?
Absolutely. You've got a suite.
So if you're looking for parts and vintage toys from Capture from Mega Toy Fan, you can also check us out on Twitter and Facebook and find out all the information as the convention goes on. At this point, I'm not quite sure we'll have an episode that week because all of us are going to be quite busy, and I don't know if we're going to be able to have time to squeeze in an episode. It's going to be really, really difficult. We'll keep you updated on that. But anyway, you guys have any other news that you want to talk about real quick before we jump into our main topic?
I'm pretty good. What about you guys?
What about that announcement of that groove? What do you think that's going to lead to?
I think we're eventually going to get it here in the U.S. I don't know when. I think it's probably the Hasbro, if they do it, it'll probably be like the Wild Rider and the Slingshot, very limited exclusive. And if you don't get it right off the bat, you're not going to get it. And they're probably going to wait until Blastoff comes out and they'll release the groove and the Blastoff. That's what I would imagine they're going to do.
The images that we've seen of it have it in Combiner Wars packaging, not new. Not
yeah. New. Well, it's I'm sure it's also multilingual too. So it's
maybe. I'm wondering a couple things though. the main thing I'm wondering, besides you know what you're supposed to combine to form, because we didn't see the back of the or the side of the page package. Yeah, English today. We didn't see the side of the package, so we don't see who the combiner is supposed to be. I would assume Defensor, but the color of those details on the bubble are kind of the olive green, which leads me to think that it might be somehow related to Bruticus.
Hmm. Don't know. Now, who knows? Maybe we might get to see a Guard City down the road.
Yeah. I don't want a Guard City. I want a G2 Defensor. Come on.
Okay.
They did drop pictures, like really, really, really good pictures of the unreleased G2 Defensor, and those were on TFW probably been about a year back, and they're a high-res photo, so there's really no reason why they couldn't dabble into that and also give you a Guard City. I don't see why they couldn't recolor that thing twice, because there really hasn't been any other repaint other than the United Warriors with that.
Who knows? There might be a STCC exclusive coming up, so you never know. This is my Bruticus right now. I got the PC-09 upgrade set from Perfect Effect on him today, and I couldn't be happier. I mean, he's got a lot more stability. Just the looks of him is just so... so awesome. Love it. Love it.
I'm digging the kind of the base mode looking thing.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing with Onslaught lately. It's not quite the G1 base mode, but it works.
Yeah, this upgrade set here, the PC-09. Uh-huh. Yeah. So kind of cheap. I mean, for third party stuff, it's $28 for, you know, big old feet and big old hands. So can't complain.
On the lines of upgrade sets, Renderforms dropped a thing dealing with the G2 Minasaur.
Oh,
yes. He is doing the gun expansion for all the smaller bots with a smaller type of rifle for Motor Master. He's also releasing a larger rifle for the combined mode along with two different head sculpts. So you guys be on lookout for Renderforms stuff, because he is putting these out. They are available.
Yeah,
actually made them available, I think, earlier this week. Say again, Jim.
I missed where there were two different sizes on the rifle. I knew about the rifles, but I didn't know there were two different sizes for the combined mode and the individual.
Well, They are, because if you look at the size of the rifle that goes on the combined form, it's almost the size of like one of these by itself.
Yeah, I missed that part then.
Mm. Yeah, it's cool. A fairly large rifle. All right, I don't know anything about the hand and foot expansion yet. I think he put it out there in the Nether if folks were interested. So if you guys are interested, maybe hit him up.
Yeah.
And find out.
Check out Renderform. He's on Facebook. He's got a Facebook.
Yeah, he is on Facebook. So check him out. He'll
and I believe renderform.com, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Great stuff. I know Azeem. He's a great guy, and he does excellent work. So let's jump into our main topic tonight. There's a lot to talk about here. You know, lots of opinions, and again, we'd love to hear from you fans watching the Facebook group right now. So if you're on Facebook, join our group and check out the pinned topic at the topic. It's this episode. We are going to try to leave each episode pinned to the top for a whole week until the next episode airs, and then we'll unpin it and then pin the new episode. So that way, throughout the week, if you listen to the episode on the audio only version, you can go back to the group and the topic is pinned to the top, so you can join in on the discussion. On the relevant topic. Also, we're still watching the Twitter feed, so if you're there's already been quite a few interesting responses. I tweeted before we went live. Let me pull it up here. Let's see here. Where is it? Wow, Twitter's already going crazy. Okay. I tweeted, what makes a masterpiece transformer a masterpiece? Is it supposed to be perfect in every way? I think that's the good crux of what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, there seems to be a lot of debate in the fandom on the message boards and on social media. You know, everybody's, I mean, we've talked about it before. The fandom nitpicks everything to death. But no, yes, they do. But we're not going to be talking about, you know, whining about what makes masterpiece and why it's not a masterpiece. But we'll look realistically at particular figures like Trax here. We'll talk about things, and we'll talk about, in our opinion, what exactly makes a masterpiece, and should it be considered perfect. Some great responses already from a lot of our listeners. Let me find it out here. B Scorponok 75 or at Detroit Taiga. He says, masterpiece is an aesthetic. Scale, deco, alt mode, and bot mode are slavishly generation one, in my opinion. The Maz at TFWare Square One. He recently wrote a bunch of articles or several articles on this very topic that we're talking about tonight. So check out the Square One articles and read those. I highly urge you to, some great reading there, and see what he has to say on that. At Fox for Naught, James Anderson says, I don't know if you can ever have a perfect toy in reality, as so many things have to be done until the final product is produced. As long as it looks pretty and cool in robot mode, I am happy. I don't make Masterpiece my main Transformers focus, though. I have one or two at the moment, but that could change. I already pre-ordered Primal, so he'll be my second MP. Some great responses there. Let's see here. There's a couple more. Let's see here. I saw them. But, you know, there's some great, great responses there. I'm going to throw this out there to you guys. What to you, should a masterpiece represent perfection? I mean, should it look perfect in vehicle form and robot form? Or is it okay if there's sacrifices made to make one form or the other? I'll start out with Plasticon, since you're farthest on my left.
I don't think they should be absolutely perfect. Because to be honest, it's kind of an impossible thing to ask, because me being a G2 guy, I like things that look a little more comic book.
And he freezes up.
Like a comic panel.
Yes. He froze.
The whole thing is if it's going down the road.
All right. You, you might have to hold on, Plastikon. You froze up on us there for a second. You might need to start over.
Real quick, just so you guys know, that's my tech guy. Just letting you know.
I don't think it's his fault. I think that's a good
fault. It's the internet, man. It had nothing to do with that.
Such as live broadcasting.
I'm sorry. It was funny. I'm just going to say.
It is funny.
The internet is also his fault.
Yeah, the internet is my fault. Blame Plastikon.
But I invented it. I invented it, so.
I thought that was Al Gore.
No, that's me. He stole it. He stole it from me.
He is Al Gore.
See, I can clutch the pen too. I can hold the pen.
Okay, Plastikon, go ahead. Start over.
Well, as I was saying, I don't think they should always be perfect. Mainly because you got folks that want like a comic book aesthetic, toy aesthetic, or cartoon screen accurate aesthetic. When you look at like Lambor, G2 Lambor, it's basically based off the comic book. There was no reference to the toy of it having spiky wheels, and there was no cartoon. But when you go and look at like, say, Optimus Prime, MP01, or even MP10, you look at it, there's a different aesthetic there. It has a very, you know, I don't know, it has more of a realistic looking truck mode, but somehow the aesthetic of the stance of the bot looks more cartoony. But then when you go and look at the comic books, he's very like blocky, you know? So I think it's kind of impossible really to ask, hey, can I have a robot that does all three? Without parts forming, I highly doubt that's going to happen. It's like how many versions of Devastator have we got, including official ones, since the very beginning of Devastator ever coming out?
Two.
I mean, yeah, two. Two too many. Seriously. I understand a lot of people like different aesthetics. But to be honest, when it comes to like masterpiece scale, it's like, you know, you get a third-party masterpiece, like this Astro Train that Hasbro's about to release that isn't even a masterpiece, that might become somebody's masterpiece in their eyes. Mm-hmm. But you got a lot of people out there who's bought at least two or three other versions of Astro Train that came out as a third party, and some people are happy with it, some people aren't. You know, it's like, honestly, it's like comparing apples to oranges sometimes.
You're right. And see, that's one of the things I like about third party is that, you know, you don't have to be a completionist. You go with what floats your boat. You know, if you collect only official, in a way, you kind of limit yourself because, you know, you get only what they put out. And if you have third party, it's like you have, for example, you mentioned Astro Train. You have the DX9 Chigurh, or you have the Toy World Evilistar. And both of them have a different aesthetic. They both represent Astro Train, but it all goes back to what you prefer Astro Train to look. What is your Astro Train? Evilistar is heavily influenced by the toy design and looks a lot like the toy, and has a more realistic shuttle mode and train mode. However, it's a bit smaller, and the aesthetic doesn't necessarily match the cartoon representation of it. However, with DX9's Chigurh, the robot mode is heavily cartoon influenced. I mean, it's not identical. I mean, it has, you know, the feet are a little bit different. But it is very heavily cartoon influenced in robot mode. The shuttle mode is kind of cartoony. It's fat, but you know, that's goes back to what we're talking about. Some sacrifices have to be made in order to make a particular figure, from one form into another. And then the train mode, Yeah, it's good, but it's not necessarily like the train that Astro Train became in the show. Now, going back to official product, there is no official Masterpiece Astro Train. So right now, if you want an Astro Train, your only option is to go third party. So,
well, it's, you know, it's the same thing with Perceptor. They had that third party Perceptor, forget who it is.
Tesla. I think
it's Fans Toys or something like that made it.
And he freezes up again.
Solid.
Right.
But, yeah, the Tesla, I've actually got my Tesla right here.
It's like one color versus the other.
He's back. There he is. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome back.
It's my internet jacking up because everything just fast-forwarded. Okay, anyway, what I was saying is you got people who like the head sculpt of that Perceptor and some people don't. But then you got people that like the one shade of color of blue versus the other that it was packed with. Now, honestly, the packing of a different shade within a third party, if you're wanting to swap out parts, I guess that's okay. And honestly, I think that's a better option.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I actually have some production samples here that I just acquired today to photograph. I have Fans Toys Forager, and I also have Fans Toys Willys. And just what you were mentioning, if you look, well, let me turn his head to where, if you look at his head, he's got like the silver face. It's hard to focus there. He's got like the silver face, but included is going to be a bag of parts. And I don't know if you can see it right there. But yeah, it's a cartoon face with a more white.
Yeah, it's a white face.
Yeah, and that's something I've actually, you know, we're kind of seeing more in official Masterpiece. They're starting to do stuff like that too. For example, MP22, which is Ultra Magnus, came with the straight face and then the his O face. Oh, you know, so I'm really digging that. You know, so yeah, Brett's like his old face.
Office Space was awesome.
Yes, but Sex Doll Magnus. But you know, while it may not be an entirely different head, I really, really dig that. I mean, it's one of the things I like about, like, the Fans Toys is one of my favorite groups. You know, I mean. For example, like the Insecticons, they come with like different kinds of insect feet. You can have more toy accurate feet, or you can have cartoon accurate insect feet. Just however you want to customize. The Bad Cube Sun Surge came with chrome parts or silverized parts. So you know, you can interchange those. In official Masterpieces. Are really, really starting to step up their game. I think third party's putting some pressure on them.
Not that they'll ever admit it.
No, they won't. But you can't deny it. There are different levels of, you know, it's Hasbro started out with MP01, and now that the third parties are starting to get out there, and you got people like Fans Toys putting out stuff like this. Which is the Swoop. I mean, this thing is like kick ass. You know, it's tough to compete, you know. Brett, what's your thoughts on Masterpiece? Should Masterpiece be perfect?
I'm going to say, for me, nothing but perfection will do. That's all I want. But no, it's not going to happen. If you look at, I'll give you a perfect example. What everyone's waiting for, at least I am, is the Masterpiece 31
Magic Primal.
Yeah, that's MP32. 31 is Delta Magnus.
Is it? They got it listed wrong. Anyway, this is what I was looking at. And while this is a wonderful, striking pose, I don't think that's really show accurate.
But it's his ass.
Yeah, so, I mean...
It's his monkey ass.
So
Mark says that's his monkey ass.
So then you look at this. Okay. I can see. That looks more show accurate. That looks more show accurate. That looks pretty close. And then you look at it, even in color. Hey, that looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. But that's not show accurate. So,
well, so, it goes back to what we were saying, and we'll touch more on this later as a more developed part of this topic. But sometimes sacrifices have to be made, and I see that as a sacrifice that had to be made in order to get one one form to look a certain way and the other form to look mostly a certain way. And usually it's the alternate form that suffers in most cases.
Well, but yes. But the other thing I was going to tell you, talk to you about was MP10. Great, great figure. Great representation. As a robot, striking. Some people say maybe the arms are a little long, whatever. I think it looks perfect. I thought the truck mode looked really good, but others who actually drive trucks said it was wrong. So the real world, it's not so accurate.
In the real world, because in semis, the part where the fifth wheel is it's just a frame that goes out. It's not solid. You can stand in front of the dual wheels and look through the frame and see the ground. You can see the drivetrain and all that in the axles. On MP10, it's just a solid piece. But it's a sacrifice that had to be made in order to get the robot form to look a certain way.
That's exactly my point.
I'm just wondering how they could have possibly engineered a skeletal frame on the back of a semi-truck like that to be able to collapse down to support the weight of Optimus Prime when he stands up.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't even see how that would even be possible.
It wouldn't.
You can't – I mean, I'm sorry. If you want a model, go out and buy a model of that Peterbilt, paint it to look like Optimus Prime and set it on the shelf, because that's about as close as you're ever going to get to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jim,
where the camera goes.
Oh, I have certain people who have an idea where it shouldn't be.
Oh, I'm sure it's a suppository.
Yeah.
I mean, that hollow cab, the internal mechanisms have to come from someplace, you know.
Yeah. Whenever you said that, and saying Galvatron went, ooh. But anyway. Jim, should Masterpiece be perfection?
Well,
or does it represent perfection to you?
As far as Masterpiece, I don't think there is such a thing as a perfect Masterpiece representation, simply because there are so many incarnations of each. There's the comic version, there's the toy version, there's the cartoon version, there's the box art version. I mean, on and on, you know. And so there's never going to be really one definitive, iconic, perfect thing to go off of. There's always going to be some kind of variation, something not right, something in the wrong spot. So I think when it comes to Masterpiece, I think that should be considered the best possible incarnation that best represents how that character is meant to look in general. One for instance would be like on Ironhide and Ratchet. Okay, they had the issue where there's the hip panels, and a lot of people complained about them. But you know. Like, well, you only have so much to work with, but overall, you know, the positives outweigh the negatives on that. So, I mean, granted, it's not what some people would consider perfect because of that issue, but it is by far, in my opinion, the best representation we've received thus far of those characters.
Yeah.
And as far as Primal goes, I'm not sure. I hadn't seen it from that angle before. I have to say, it doesn't torque. It doesn't torque at all. Good night, everybody.
Too much junk in the trunk.
too much monk in the trunk.
But, anyway,
too much monk in the trunk, yeah.
Let's take a closer look here. Junkie. Let's take a closer look here at the poster boy of basically what spurred a lot of this discussion on. This is the cartoon.
Garbage.
The human in the pink shirt there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is Trax in the cartoon animation model. That's what we got.
We got a very poor representation of that.
I disagree because I mean he seems to fit the bill to me. I mean he's got a few extra things
could have made that thing perfect. I don't understand. The head, the back, and all that connection is just it's poorly executed.
Well, let's look at that. I mean, I'm holding it up right now to the camera for those audio listeners. I mean, you can see all the way through. Yeah.
You're holding it up to the camera for the audio listeners?
That's right.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
I'm describing to the audio listeners, I'm holding it up to the camera. I'm looking all the way through his backpack. I can see you. Yeah.
Now look down his shoulders.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing holding the head. It's just hanging there.
Yeah,
it's floating there.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, I mean,
you asked for my opinion. I just gave it.
Well, why is that a big problem? How could they have done it better?
Make it connect to the front. Make it connect all the way through. Then all they'd have to do is, and I'm sure they have fillers. I mean, they put freaking panels on everything. They put hip panels on Ironhide. They can put side panels so you can't see through the backpack. Simple. Two extra things. I'm sorry, three extra things. Done. Perfect figure.
That's extra cost.
They get rid of the stupid stand that no one's going to use anyway.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, and he is just, the thing is, do you agree that he's the best representation of Trax that we have today? Is he a better representation than, say, Reveal the Shield Trax?
Oh, yeah. But I think the G1's better. I'd rather go with a brick.
Really?
Yep.
You would stand the G1 Trax on your masterpiece shelf.
You didn't say that. You didn't say that. You said which one did I think was better, and I think G1 is.
Okay, so we're talking about, you know, what is the best representation, and that's strictly
opinion, and I think the G1 is in that case.
And that's exactly what we're talking about now.
If you were going to ask me about Ironhide, I'm definitely going to say the masterpiece version because I never did like the G1 Ironhide, but that's just different.
Well, he
it was goofy.
Yeah, he pervertly peers through you through his pedo van window, you know. So,
while riding his skateboard, yes.
I don't know. You ever look at the faces for the Ironhide and Ratchet stickers and think back like the old Scooby-Doo cartoons? You know, like the eyes popping up out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a kind of connection there. Something sinister is going on.
What was that, Ziggy? You have the little Ziggy eyes and nose, and that would be awesome. Guess no one knows what Ziggy is. Never mind. Shut up. You mind for snappers?
No, I'm visualizing Ironhide with Ziggy's head now. Thanks.
There you go. My work is done.
Well, the thing is that, and this is exactly what we're talking about in this episode. You know, everybody's got their opinion of what makes a masterpiece a masterpiece. And to me, the hollow back on here, the hollow shoulders, it's all forgivable because it's what was needed. I mean, if you own this toy and you know how it transforms, you understand that, you know, a side panel would have, you know, I would like to have maybe had the doors be able to slide up to kind of fill that hole. But all in all, though, it's not floppy. You know, it all locks in into the little peg holes in the back. I don't like the way the if I had to complain about this figure, I don't like the mirrors. They pop out way too easy. Even if you push them in with a daggone pair of pliers.
So are they on a hinge then?
No.
No, they
just plug in.
They come on a sprue whenever.
Oh, they fall off. I got you.
Yeah. They come on a sprue whenever you open the toy brand new. You take them off the sprue like missiles, and then they plug into holes on the side of the car.
I see.
And they're supposed to just click right in there and stay in there. Most of the other masterpieces kind of have that, but the Trax mold for some reason. I honestly didn't have it that much of a problem with Road Rage.
Yeah, but I guarantee you'll have one will fit in fine, and the other one won't. It always seems to be just like one of them.
Yeah.
I have a major problem with Road Rage every freaking day.
Yeah.
The puns keep coming.
But is it forgivable? Do you generally consider it forgivable if there is something that some concession that had to be made? Let's go on to that topic. Concessions that have to be made.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? And I'm going to throw this picture up. I think it's a good representation. What I just put up was a picture of three of the Masterpiece series. You got Sideswipe, you got Wheeljack, and you got Prowl. Now, to me, someone just took this picture. It's random, but I look at these, and I look at Sideswipe, and I look at that as almost perfection for Sideswipe. They did an outstanding job on that mold. And that includes the Red Alert, the Tiger Tri, all those. But this mold, to me, you can't get any better than that. It's perfect. The Wheeljack, pretty close. You got to remember, Wheeljack does have a bigger, kind of like wearing boots type thing. Yeah. I think that's a really good representation. And I also like the Nissan car for all the brothers there. I think if you can do this good of a job on those three without skipping corners like they did on Trax, why wouldn't you? That's just my opinion. I mean, they obviously can do it. There's three molds right there that they knocked out of the park. Why not? That's my argument.
My answer to that, though, is that there are corners that they skipped with those molds. And I got Wheeljack here, you know, for reference. And here's one of the corners that they skipped. Whereas Trax, his missiles on there just fold away. They're actually incorporated into the toy. You know, to me, a masterpiece, if it were perfect, would have no detachable parts. Or if they were detachable, they would hide away in the vehicle form.
You're talking storage.
Yeah, storage.
I give you that. It's a nice extra, but if you're trying to go for perfection, I give you that. But then again, neither one of those three have that. Sideswipe, Wheeljack, or Prowl. They do not all store.
Yeah, they don't all. Now, Prowl has a caveat. He does have storeway missile launchers on his shoulders. But if you want him to look cartoon accurate, they just store back. However, with Blue Streak and I believe Blue Streak and Smokescreen, they were always depicted with their missile launchers up.
Correct. And if you remember, Smokescreen is even bigger because they had the big pillars on his shoulders.
Yes.
Which is why they changed the launchers for the masterpiece. But you're right, they are detachable. They do not store away.
I didn't notice that.
To me, that was a concession, you know, Sideswipe. And whenever I first opened Sideswipe, I'm like, he is so awesome. And then I transformed him. I'm like, he looks great. And I'm like, man, I just wish this missile launcher could have went somewhere.
Other than on the roof and looking goofy.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm not going to complain about that toy. I'm not going to complain about that toy because he is, to me, a masterpiece. And what exactly does masterpiece mean to you? I mean, whenever somebody throws out the term masterpiece, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Not necessarily Transformers.
That anyone that doesn't know what that character is would look at a cartoon cell, look at that figure and know that that's representation. Would be able to look at the comic, see that pic, that character, and know that this toy is that representation. That's what I'm talking about. Now, granted, anyone that's into the 2007 on up movies is going to look at this and say, I don't know what the hell it is, but that's different. My point being is that anyone that looks at that, that even knows anything about Transformers, that knows who Sideswipe is, knows that Sideswipe in robot and in car mode. And well, I'd say the same thing for Wheeljack and for Prowl.
Well, I got a question then here. If you're talking about it, you see it sitting on a shelf. What about that? I'm trying to remember the name of the company that made it, Prime. That's like $1,000 that has removable armor that you can pose that can stand there as a nice statue. Would you consider that a masterpiece?
Yes and no. I'll talk why he's frozen. Yes and no. And the main reason I say that is because, to me, the masterpiece means a perfect, and I'm gonna bite myself for saying this, Transformer, even though I don't believe that Transformers have to transform. Sorry. Action Masters and all that do not. So would I say that that is a masterpiece? Yes, I would. It is a masterpiece representation of Optimus Prime. That's how I feel.
What the a Action Master is?
For that scale, yes. But also for the, and I can't remember what company made that. I remember it. It's pretty tall. And the little armor pieces came off. And
oh, you're talking about Ultimetal.
Yeah, and I believe that, yes, that is. Doesn't mean I just have to limit myself to one.
I kind of want an Action Master or a Masterpiece Action Master Rad now.
Yeah, that would work.
Masterpiece Lionizer?
Now, what I have my idea of what the term masterpiece entails, and I want to hear your guys' thoughts on the matter, and then I will say what I think. Jim, what do you think? What does masterpiece mean to you?
Well, as I said, before, masterpiece is essentially the best possible, best reasonable incarnation or representation of what you're trying to design. Whether it be a transformer or anything else.
Okay, that's what I'm asking is, and not necessarily in relation to Transformers. When you hear the term masterpiece, it's like, and some people, they equate masterpiece with perfection. I'm not one of those people. I'll explain why here in a moment, but I'm just
the best of the best.
Yes.
If someone's talking about an artist says my masterpiece, this is the best they've done.
Well, as far as the word masterpiece in particular, what it brings to my mind is maybe like the old show Masterpiece Theater. But outside of that, this what I said before is just quality.
Yeah. Well, if you could correlate that to Transformers, you already have, let's say you're just getting back into Transformers. You were a fan back in 1984, 85, 86. Sure. And you're just getting back into Transformers, and somebody tells you that there is masterpiece representations of those original characters that you can go buy now. And you have not seen them yet. You have not seen them. And somebody tells you masterpiece representation of Trax, of Hot Rod, of Wheeljack. What would be your mental image of what a masterpiece Transformer be?
Well, right off the bat, not having seen them, automatically the rose-tinted glasses would go right back on, and I would think back to what I remembered from before. But I would imagine, maybe something crisper, cleaner, maybe a larger size, something. But ultimately, it would be dominated, I think, by the rose-tinted glasses of childhood memories, more than anything. I think that would be the predominant factor. is just trying to imagine what it was like, and you know how much in awe you were back then. But then also the feelings of anticipation and excitement for what could improve upon that, even, you know, in what ways it could be better. The imagination would start running wild. You'd start coming up with things of what could be on it, you know, what it could do, what it could look like. You know, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. Now let's further that journey that I just posed a few moments ago. You know, you've just got back into the fandom. You've been told about Masterpiece Transformers, and you're like, wow, Masterpiece, you know, and you just described what you would imagine. And then I walked into the room and said, Jim, here's Masterpiece Tracks. It's yours. And you took this toy. What would be your thoughts? What would be your reactions?
Thanks.
Well, okay.
Free toy.
No, I'm talking about just the general. I mean, Bumblebee. I mean, what masterpieces do you have, or have you had a chance to handle?
Well, until this past week, I had a Masterpiece Prowl.
Okay, let's use Prowl. Let's use Prowl as your reference.
But you know,
somebody walked in and handed you Prowl.
Right, right. You know, looking at it, it honestly, you know, it would blow me away. When I first saw Masterpiece Prowl, I had previously owned, you know, Generation 1 Prowl, Generation 1 Blue Streak. So, you know, I had, you know, ingrained in my mind what those figures and what those toys were, you know, what the proportions were, the designs, the intricate details on some of the stickers, you know, just little things like that. And I would see what translated to the Masterpiece toy. You know, how well details were preserved, what compromises were made. Like some of the details for the stickers, for instance, you know, translated into some of the molded detailing on let's say the pelvis or the legs. You know, some things were there, some things weren't. But overall, you know, I think it was a great compromise.
Would you consider yourself disappointed in any way? If going back to our scenario here, and somebody handed you that Prowl, and you transformed it for the first time, you said you're blown away by it whenever you first saw it. Were you in any way disappointed with the toy?
The only thing that kind of gave me any reservations would be the shoulder missile launchers, in that they were a there was such a different design in the G1 toy than just like more the cylinders that the Masterpiece had. I mean, there was still a faint detail of a little pop-up part in the back, but very, very minute. It seemed like he just had like sushi rolls on his shoulders. sorry. And just a few minutes ago when you guys were talking, I actually Googled Google image search and looked up Masterpiece Smokescreen, and oh my God, those things are gigantic. You guys weren't kidding. That's too much.
They're big.
Yeah,
they're big, but they represent.
But if you look back at the cartoon, they were big on the cartoon.
Right, sure. But translating that into the toy, I don't know if that worked. I think that was a little bit too much.
For me, I dug it. I thought it was pretty neat.
Sure.
As soon as I saw it, I went, I know exactly why they did that. I'm good with it.
Because I think that the head also borrowed heavily from the cartoon, and I think that's why it works so well with that. Right. However, if they would have maintained the Blue Streak or Prowl head sculpt, it would have worked better with the toy proportions of the shoulder launchers. And I think that's where the detail works is with the proper context of what it's meant to go along with.
Now, let me pull up a image here, and you brought up a good point there, Jim, about proportions. And let me do a search here.
Well, here's a good proportion.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find a good
one. And I agree with you. these things go way up.
Yeah, but they do go all the way up.
But that's how it was in the cartoon.
And Prowl and Blue Streak, they have tubes.
Well, that was always funny. Sometimes Prowl, I think Prowl always had two, and then Blue Streak always had two, and then Prowl didn't. But I think sometimes he did.
Right, but they're cylinders.
Yeah, when they went with those things that clipped over top of them, which I don't understand why they didn't release those to begin with.
Right.
They look much better. They most certainly did. But that brings another point that I was going to say is when I think of masterpiece, I don't think of price point. And I think that's one of the things that's really why we have problems with what we do is because they have to maintain a certain price point. And I'm going to argue that a lot of people don't care about the price point. And case in point, how many kits are sold, how many upgrade kits, how many third-party items, this, that, and the other, to which it's not so much a cost factor, they want the look. So I think I would rather spend more money on an official masterpiece that I got more bang for my buck. I want more show accuracy, and I don't mind paying more for it.
All right. Going back to the proportion thing here, let me share again. All right. This is for the viewers here. This is you got in this picture, you got Inferno, you got Red Alert, smoke screen here in the background. And incidentally, look at his head and look how small the cannons are on the side of his head. It's kind of, again, it's inconsistencies in the animation, but we're talking about in general here. And then in the background, you have Grapple. Now, look at Inferno here, and, you know, notice the big, thick, chunky legs, the big, thick, chunky legs here and the smaller upper thighs, and then the big, thick, chunky torso. I mean, he basically looks like a hefty man if you were to make him a humanoid or a human. All right. Now, this is Maki Toys Hellfire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people knock this toy because of the big, thick legs. But to me, this represents the animation model just right.
I really like that one. I like that one a lot.
This is a phenomenal toy. I really, really like this toy. But I want the grapple, the wrestle. I want that, but it's like an online exclusive. But, I've looked at before I purchased this, again, going back to the multiple choices that we have with third party, I went and looked at different iterations of the character that are coming out. There's a fans toy version coming out and a couple of others, and they look good. I have to admit they look good, but the thing that sold me was the proportion on here. You know, you're going to the proportions on the on smoke screen.
Case in point.
Yeah, I'll highlight your screen here.
And I actually have two of them. This is the one where he's got, you know, two big old skyscrapers on his shoulders. Uh-huh. And then right here in the same one, here they are, and they're nice and small again.
Yeah.
So there's no consistency. We've always known that. There's no consistency in the cartoon, and sometimes there's no consistency in color, size, you know, affiliation. Come on.
Sound wave, yeah.
I mean, it happens, you know.
Defense are standing next to Hotspot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so, but.
Well, but the thing is that in general, whenever these characters were depicted on screen, most of the time, Smokescreen had giant pylons on his shoulders.
Sure.
For cannons. Most of the time. Animation error or inaccuracy, sometimes they were small and he had like a large head. And if you remember in that picture that I shared just a moment ago, Inferno had the big, thick, chunky legs like he normally does in the episodes. Ooh. But Grapple in the background had skinny legs.
This is a question I've got. Would you guys be happy if Hasbro released three different lines of Masterpiece? One that's realistic, one that's cartoon accurate, and then one that's comic book accurate.
So combine
you dip into a triple line masterpiece. If they released like one type of each, would you dip into that?
Well, we kind of already are, really. I mean, and Jim really pointed at it. You know, you got your Combiner Wars, which in a sense, those are probably the most masterpiece we're going to get of some of those characters. Like some of those Combiners, we may eventually get masterpiece Combiners, but will we get them all? Most likely not. No.
That's some crappy masterpiece right there.
And it all goes to what you define as masterpiece. And I'm wanting to get back to that topic because, Jason, what to you signifies whenever you hear the term masterpiece?
I think it's just,
what does the term correlate to you?
The term itself correlates to me that, you know, it's if it's something I really like me, I like the G2 comics. So Lambor that came out with all the craziness he has, that's masterpiece to me. But some people be like, well, that's stupid. It doesn't look anything like the cartoon. Well, not supposed to. It's a completely different color.
It looks great with the yelling face. And
But I think that you're hitting a good point. That figure is a representation of the only thing which was G2 in the comics, and that is a perfect representation of that one. We don't have to worry about the canon of the G2s, the G1s, the comics, the cartoon. You don't have to do all that. This is different. This is one representation of one character that was in one, I can't think of the media. So, and I like that.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, if they released, like, you know, think about the Lambor was probably the best thing they did, where they gave us a G2 version. They gave us a Red Alert that had, like, the crazy head swap thing for cartoon accuracy. But then again, you could go ahead and just do, you know, just a normal. I think they were on to something there with that. But to be honest, I would rather them just focus, if they're going to give us masterpiece versions of something, oh, this is the masterpiece of the Michael Bay Optimus Prime. And then this is a masterpiece of the cartoon Optimus Prime. And then this is a masterpiece of the comic book Optimus Prime. And there's three completely different toys.
And you might get that years from now, when everyone's G1 that they remember is the Michael Bay Optimus Prime.
Right. And, you know, that's something I want to get to here in a few moments, you know, masterpiece down the road. Because masterpiece is one of those things that I think that both Takara Tomy and Hasbro have looked at and said, hey, we've got a winning little franchise here. Let's.
Well, I kind of like we got a listener. Emmett, and I'm going to try, Stredovich, he stated to him, masterpiece is a physical representation of a concept once believed to be unattainable by the masses. I like that.
I do.
It's very strict. It's to the point. It makes a lot of sense. Because we have it now, we feel it's obtainable, we want the next masterpiece. And that was another thing I was getting to. Perfect example, when MP01 came out. This is the best representation. This is my masterpiece of Prime. MP10. Whoa.
It got better.
And you talk about, Don and I have talked over and over again about Bruticus. You know, before Warbitron, hey, this is the best representation. Now that Warbitron, hey, this is the best representation until the next one comes out. Mm-hmm. And we know that. It's down the road. It's going to happen. As long as there's people that will throw money at it, they'll make it.
Well, I mean, I kind of want to say this, though, because I had MP10. At the same time, I had MP01. And to me, the MP01 looks more cartoon accurate than MP10 did.
MP10 depends on which one you got.
Well, it's very real, very, very realistic looking. MP10 did. MP01 to me in robot mode looks more like the cartoon.
I disagree.
Well, to me, it does.
Well, because I look at MP10 and I think that the longer torso, it to me, that's more representation of how it was in the cartoon. Mm-hmm. But then again, I also look at, I have a separate shelf for MP10 and was it MP5 Megatron? Mm-hmm. I have those side by side. Okay. And that's separate. That is separate from my other shelf, which has Prowl, Ironhide, all the others, and they're with MP10 because that scales to them. I have them both, and to me they both have a place in my collection. They're masterpiece. They're just, it's different. I think MP10 scales with everything we're getting now, whereas MP1 doesn't. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't get rid of MP1. I still like it.
MP1 still, that's a wonderful masterpiece. And honestly, I mean, he has gone down in price, but I mean, still, he's worth the money. He's great. He might be an older one, but he's still good. I don't know, me. I'm staying away from Megatron though, because I hear he's a fragile mess. I don't want that.
With MP01, were you factoring in the 2006 version or the 2004 version?
What do you mean?
That might be a factor, too. In 2006, they reissued it with the 20th anniversary of the Transformers movie, and it had a more anime, like brighter colors and things.
For MP05?
01.
MP01 came
okay.
out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was two different Toys R Us versions. There was a Battle Damage version. There was an animated version. There was the black box, first one that came out with the tall stacks. Yeah. They've done all that. And I just now got to thinking about that, too. You were talking about Masterpiece Megatron. They did do the nice, wonderful gold one, and my understanding is they fixed some of the problems. So if you're worried about it being fragile, you might want to go with the nice, you know, James Bond golden gun-looking one if you want to.
Hold on. To make it less fragile, they went with gold plastic?
No. Isn't that weird? Supposedly they fixed some of the issues, which I never had a problem with mine.
It's not the gold plastic that you think of.
No, it's like a gold chrome. Although it would go great with the Year of the Horse MP10. You could put them right next to each other, and then you got your pimp daddy with your gold daddy. And yeah, so that'll work.
Well, you know, I want to say to me, masterpiece, whenever I think of the term masterpiece, to me, masterpiece, I hear the term masterpiece and I think of an artist's rendition. You think of your, you know, you got your Picassos, you got your Rembrandts, all of the different famous artists of in history. And each one of them have their pieces that are considered a masterpiece. Now you can go up to those paintings, and there may be individual, like you can see the brush strokes, and there might be like a errant brush stroke here, or they use a slightly off color, and it's not like a perfect sky blue, or what have you. Picasso is a good example. I mean, his work is a bit out there. It's impressionist. It's not for everyone. Everybody, you know, has their specific tastes, their styles that they like. And whenever I think of masterpiece, I don't equate the word masterpiece with perfection per se. Now, masterpiece may be, it may be a perfect representation of that character in my mind, but I know that there's flaws. Like I too am with you, Brett. I am bothered by the hollowness, but at the same time, I don't hate this toy because of it. I accept this toy because that, and I'm talking about Trax for the audio listeners. I accept this toy because that is a concession that was needed to be made in order to have, to meet certain costs, to meet certain production standards, and also to be able to transform into both forms that we know it to be. you know, as much as I love Fans Toys Soar, which is the swoop here I'm holding up, this is a masterpiece. It's great. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. You know, the these little tabs on the knees are fragile. They can break really easily. You know, it's his chest is a little bit fiddly to spread apart, and you know, chrome over time will wear out. Mm-hmm. It's a given. Great thing that they that this toy actually comes with alternate wings that are not chromed, you know, and an alternate beak, you know. You know, it what makes a masterpiece? You know, you've got Masterpiece Hot Rod right here, or Hot Rodimus. You know, on the screen here, he looks red, right? But live and in person here in the I've got daylight LEDs in this room, and he comes off as a pinkish magenta. You know, and a lot of people would knock it for the color.
Most people are knocking it because of the backpack and the flat chest.
Okay, here's the backpack and the flat chest. Not a big deal. I mean, it looks on camera. It does look kind of garish and big, but it's not really that bad in person. I mean,
I'm not really seeing anything wrong with the chest. I think it looks fine.
No, I mean,
chest should have kind of protruded a little bit. I've heard a lot of people say that they should have sacrificed the idea of him being able to hold a matrix in order to allow that backpack to kind of crunch in a little bit more and actually have a little bit more of a chest, you know, portion. Because you look at it, it's very flat. There's no, like, curvature to the chest at all. It's just
flat. The way it works, though, is you got the windshield of the car actually kind of folds. It comes back around and folds up and kind of touches underneath the car. And then the back of the car folds. It folds down and folds in on itself to form that backpack. Okay. So,
but compare the aesthetics of that one to the one that was released previously, that I know a lot of people had problems with the quality, but it actually still looked good.
Yeah. Here is a Hot Wheel, and here is Masterpiece Rodimus, and I'm going to superimpose for the video viewers, you know, what, you know, so to kind of get an idea, everybody has an idea of how big certain Hot Wheels are. This is your average Hot Wheel car. And, you know, so his chest is roughly about as wide as a Hot Wheel. I mean, there's maybe a quarter of an inch on, it's hard to get this lined up, but maybe a quarter of an inch on each side wider than a Hot Wheel. So it's not as wide and thick. Now, I can see if somebody fails to fold the sides of the car in and everything, I can see people saying, that chest is so wide. Fold the suckers in. It's not as wide as it's supposed to be.
The concern isn't the width of the chest. It's the
flatness.
Slope. It doesn't have any kind of slope whatsoever to the chest. Yeah. It's just very flat.
Yeah, it kind of, let me get his arm out.
That's the gripe that people have been saying. It's not the width of it. It's the lack of slope.
The matrix and the matrix chamber on the Hot Rod is larger than the Rodimus Prime previously. Am I correct?
There is the matrix chamber.
Yeah, I was thinking that was a larger matrix. If that's the case, that might be part of the issue too.
Yeah.
Well, they said that they should have just not even done a matrix chamber on him anyway. So that way the backpack would fold in and it would allow the matrix to kind of have a little bit of something else.
The matrix chamber on Rodimus Prime, if you remember though, wasn't that made before the scale change in Masterpiece? And I think that Masterpiece Rodimus Prime was made actually to fit the MP01 matrix in, which is slightly larger, I believe, than the MP10 matrix. So that would explain why his matrix chamber is larger. Mm-hmm. Now, let's move on to the I hope I'm not skipping anything here. I feel like I am. But let's move on to Masterpieces of the Future.
Masterpieces of Tomorrow.
Right now, it's hard to imagine what could make these characters better. You know, this is the best version. Oh, man, Hot Rod decides to take a dive. What would make these characters better than what we have in our hands right now? You know, is there some kind of engineering feat that these do not have that they should? Brett, what do you think? What would make a masterpiece better?
Well, I think we said it before. I think being able to integrate the weapons and accessories into at least into the transformation, I think that would be a plus. I mean, I know some, well, and I think the obvious price limitations that they put on some of this stuff, like i.e. some of them not having fully articulating fingers, the fact, like we said before, with tracks, that some of the shortcuts that they did, and it's got to be for price point. I think if they got rid of all that, we would see better representations.
Unfortunately, a third party has put out a fully articulated finger set for many of the masterpieces. This is the Trax that I have right here. My Ultra Magnus, if you follow the Facebook group and Yellow Wolf Studios, which is my photo galleries, the Ultra Magnus that I shared showcases the Ultra Magnus using the third party fully articulated hands. And they're about $15, not all that expensive. And they absolutely up the level, in my opinion, of the masterpieces. They grip their guns.
I agree.
They grip their guns so much more securely and everything.
I think my point is secure in that if they up the price of the masterpiece, you know, that you got at Toys R Us or wherever you get them from, by $15 and included their articulating fingers, that people would still buy them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this whole idea about cutting corners because of price point, I know that's how they work, but our collecting habits have indicated that we're more concerned with the item than we are the price.
Yeah. Whenever you're talking about the collector market, you have people that are less concerned about price, honestly, than and I think that's another thing that third parties have proven, is that we don't give a damn how much it is. If we want that character, Maki Toys Pandenas, the Scorponok, just went up for pre-order on Capture Prey, and it's like $395. You know, I mean, you can get a vintage, you could get, what, three vintage, or, well, you could get a vintage Scorponok for about that price.
Less.
Yeah.
But people will still buy both.
Yeah. And the thing is flipping huge. Maki Toy Dystopia and Utopia, huge toys, and they're about $500 a piece. People, if they really want those figures, they'll go out and buy them. I mean, I've got three third party combiners here. Each one of them, with the exception of Unique Toys Warlord. The Hercules and the Dino King combiner, the Dinobots, each one of the components of that, whenever I bought them new, were about $100 a piece. So I'm looking at $600 a piece for those things. And as a collector, I like those, and I'm willing to spend that money on them. If it fits the bill of what I like, I'll spend the money on it. I can understand for your, like, your general release, you know, Hasbro has costs in mind, and they have to. Oops, and I knocked an eyeball off of my clamp now. They have costs to have to meet. You know, they understand that a parent is not going to walk into a Toys R Us and on a whim, usually, and buy a child a $300 toy. you know, and I think the USS Flag and G.I. Joe kind of proved that back in the day.
It wasn't a $300 toy back then.
Well, no, but it was expensive.
It was like roughly about $120, $130 back then. The Defiant, I think, was $100.
Yeah, but what's that equivalent to today?
Exactly.
That's about that.
Yeah. Now, you know, this is like the Legends class clampdown for RID 2.0, you know, the goofy looking thing. You know, this is not necessarily for the collector market. I like it. It's a neat little figure, but you know, they don't have to worry about price really with this thing. I mean, well, I take that back. Price is the thing. You know, these are small and cheap. They are meant to be a quick grab for a parent. You know, a kid say, I want a Transformer. They're on the Transformer aisle. Oh, hey, here's a little toy. It's $5. I'll grab that for you. That's the way my parent was whenever I was in school. You know, I would be more likely to get a very cheap figure than I was to get anything else.
Jump starters,
mini bots, combiner limbs.
I don't know how many times that just because I asked, my mom was going to the grocery store that I got a Hot Wheel. Hmm. Always got Hot Wheels because they were a buck. Right, yeah. In the checkout line, if you remember the impulse buys.
Yep.
Hot Wheels. You'd walk
They're
in.
Still there,
and here you go. This will shut him up for a day. And it was a buck.
Yeah.
Well, the afternoon at least.
But you know, whenever you get to the collector market, it's a whole different ball game. You know, and it's been proven that, you know, over time, the collector market has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. I dare say that in several years, the collector market will be all Toys R 4 because with video games, TV shows, you know, other sorts of entertainment, kids are less and less playing with toys. And I'm seeing that with lots of kids nowadays. You know, you're more likely to see adults on toy aisles in Walmart and Toys R Us looking at toys than you are kids sometimes.
Well, you know? They've said that the demographics of children playing with toys has gone down. And I was watching a podcast the other day, and they were talking about what do you think is going to happen within the next 20 years when it comes to the toy collecting market or the demographics of kids wanting anything. And I mean, do you really think there's going to be a nostalgia for cell phones in the future?
Hmm. Yes.
It's silly to think about, but I really might be.
I give you a perfect example. Try and find a first generation iPhone.
Why would you want to?
Just try and find one.
That's the thing, Daron. There is a market out there that is different than what we do. There are guys out there that collect vintage computers. Like,
yeah.
They've got like their entire room full of nothing but vintage computers and software and stuff that we would never want, some of us. But that's their market. That's what they want. So it's kind of almost on the same level, if you think about it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, let's say the Unicron trilogy. You know, 5, 10 years, 15 years down the road, those kids that were kids back in the day played with Armada, Energon, Cybertron. You know, they're going to be in their early to mid-30s, and in all likelihood, if Masterpieces continue, which it could because it's such a huge success now, you know, or else they wouldn't continue to be pumping these things out year after year after year. If they do Masterpiece Armada Prime, Masterpiece Energon Hotshot, you know, it's really difficult for me as a Gen 1 / G2 / Beast Wars purist, I guess you could say, it's really difficult for me to sit there and think, okay, the Armada trilogy, Unicron trilogy as Masterpiece. But it could happen. You know, but a lot of those figures started, especially in RID and Beast Wars, started having a lot of posability to begin with. And Masterpiece Beast Convoy is a good example of that. How do you improve on an already great toy? You know, aside from giving it, and I think Cyburn 2 mentioned it on the podcast several weeks back. You know, how do you make a Masterpiece Beast Convoy, Optimus Primal, without, you know, I mean, essentially it's going to transform pretty much the same way. There's not many different ways you can transform a monkey or a gorilla or whatever. There's not many ways you can transform a gorilla into a robot without changing things up a bit. So outside of giving him different fingers, changeable faces, you know, maybe even flock it or something other, you know, with fake fur. I don't know. Chia pet it. But how do you masterpiece something that's already a good design to begin with? I can see Generation 1 because like Brett said, they were bricks. You know, they didn't have a lot. Most of them had very little posability. Might have had 4 points of articulation on the whole toy.
I give you a perfect example. G1 Astro Train. Mm-hmm. How much articulation did G1 Astro Train have? Two arms.
Yep.
That's it. Two arms.
Well, Broadside had two elbows.
Yeah.
Was there? Oh, Bloodswing had toes, technically.
Yeah, so...
I mean, I can see it probably going, you know, so for some of that stuff, you know, I mean, Brett collects hot toys. Hot toys, a lot of them, those are like more like, you know, there are some G.I. Joes that come out of there. And those G.I. Joes are like stupid articulated. They have cloth, you know, and gun clips, you know. They could go up to maybe that kind of scale, kind of silliness with some of those Armada toys and some of the Beast War stuff if they really wanted to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, but the thing is that some of the Armada trilogy or Unicron trilogy, I keep wanting to say Armada trilogy, but some of the Unicron trilogy stuff and even later, you know, you start getting into animated and Prime. If you were to make masterpiece versions of those toys, outside of giving them like better paint schemes and making them a little bit bigger, they're already good representations of what you see in the media, in my opinion. I'd like to hear what fans think about, you know, the masterpieces of the future. How would you make them better? I mean, it's food for thought.
It's your guys' cue. Come on. Let's hear it.
Well, yeah, he triggered the thought. Now I'm thoughting.
Now I was talking to the listeners. Come on, let's hear it.
Oh.
But, you know, we're approaching an hour and a half right now, and I think we've had some good discussion on this topic. And we could probably go a little while longer, but, you know, I think we're going to wrap it up here very shortly. But you guys have any closing thoughts on what makes a masterpiece masterpiece and why it is important to, I mean, why is the masterpiece line so hot right now, in your opinion?
Nostalgia.
Yeah, I think the main thing is because everyone wants the best representation, and every time they do one, they get a little better. They get a little better. So you're always constantly looking for the next big thing, and I think Masterpiece is the line. And if they haven't shown, one of the reasons I think the Combiner Wars is doing so well is that they haven't shown that they even have an interest yet of doing a Masterpiece Combiner. So that's my opinion. I think that's why Combiner Wars do so well is because that's the only representation available right now. As horrible as they look, that's all they have right now. So I think that's why they sell so.
They are selling like flipping hotcakes.
Sure.
And the thing is that's sending a message to Hasbro and Takara. That's why I'm thinking, you know, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years down the road, you know, however long it takes them to develop it, we will get masterpiece combiners. I don't know if we'll get them all. I'd say Devastator is almost a certain. Devastator is almost a certain. Bruticus, maybe Superion and Defensor, and Menasor. I think we'll get like the Combiner Wars core 4 or 5 combiners. We'll get those.
I want my masterpiece C-cons.
Yeah,
I wager that if we get masterpiece combiners, they'll likely use the Combiner Wars molds, but retool them and maybe give more articulation or different hands or something.
Nah, I think if they're going to really do the masterpiece, they're going to do it right.
Yeah, they'll do it.
That's my opinion.
They're far cry away from, you know, being.
Well, the here's the thing with masterpiece, and if you look at the current masterpieces, you have cartoon accurate robot forms, but realistic alt modes, with the exception of MP10. But that seems to be a hallmark. And I think that if they did a Devastator, they wouldn't redo Combiner Wars Devastator. We would get cartoon accurate robot forms, but more realistic looking construction vehicles. Menasor would be realistic looking cars and semi.
I gotta say, as far as Devastator goes, that is extremely, extremely cartoon accurate. Most especially Mixmaster, even. If you look at his merging sequence in the attack on Autobot City in the movie, he actually transforms pretty much how the Combiner Wars one does, backwards from the G1 toy.
Oh, I mean, my three favorites in Combiner Wars Devastator are Scrapper, Bone Crusher, and Hook. They just like scream their G1 cartoon accurate counterpart. Scrapper was like, right now that's a masterpiece, Scrapper. Awesome. And it goes to show you, you know, masterpiece is in the eye of the beholder. You know what, you know, you have your boxes that actually say masterpiece Hot Rod, masterpiece Ironhide on it. But ultimately, what makes a masterpiece is what you consider a masterpiece. Is this the best representation of the character that you like? Like right now, to me, this is masterpiece Bruticus. To me, to other people, it might not be.
I agree.
But down the road, there might be an actual masterpiece Bruticus, and I'll look at this and I'll go, I used to think that was a masterpiece. Look at Classics. Great example. Everybody used to love Classics, and Classics was so hot. And then Masterpiece came out, and nobody wants Classics anymore, hardly. You know, it's the line that, you know, it's still got some great toys in it. I wouldn't mind having some of the Classics still. As a matter of fact, I still do.
Prime example to go off your Bruticus as Energon Bruticus Maximus. Remember that.
Exactly.
There were add-on kits and even two additional third-party figures to replace, Blastoff and Swindle?
And yeah, now,
that was Fans Project.
Yeah, and now those things have, there's still a small demand for those, but the value of those, and I'm sure Brett can back this up, the demand for those add-on kits for those particular combiners have dropped. I mean, nobody wants them anymore.
Correct.
Because you have better versions out.
So now's a great time to buy.
Yeah.
Hence why, it's funny you should say that, but at the parts party, we're going to have a special on the Classics lines. You're going to see some blowout prices.
So come by and check out Brett's third party room, the Mega Toy Fan third party.
No. We're in the hotel. We're not going to have anything unofficial. It's all official, and it will be official. Hasbro Takara Classics. and they will be at never-before-seen low prices.
Now, Brett, to get these special rates, do they have to mention that they saw it advertised on the TFYP podcast?
You might get the super low rate. Ooh. If you happen to mention that.
Mm. Mm. You know, and like I said, it's a lot of great things coming up with BotCon. I think the number one thing that we need to pass on to people is wash your ass before you come to the con.
And the rest of it.
Yeah, we don't want no con funk.
Bring soap.
Yes. Please, bring soap.
Don't be one of the cons at the con.
Yeah.
One of the pros.
They're just lucky I'm not there. I'll be walking around with an extra large can of Febreze.
Oh, Lord. I was at Lexington Comic-Con and Comic and Toy Convention a couple weeks back, several weeks back. And there were some people. I think they said the average or the final attendance there was around 15,000. And yeah, and there were some people that did, that definitely smelt like they didn't bathe that weekend. So yeah, and you know, a lot of people listening to this podcast are like, wow, they really harp on that a lot. It's like, if you've ever been to a convention, you would understand why. There's nothing like standing at a dealer table trying to make a deal or trying to make a sale and somebody standing there that smells of onions, you know?
now just to give everyone kind of a rough idea of just the magnitude and how much stank that is, you know, about 15,000 people, that's about the average passenger count on a given day at the Indianapolis airport. Okay, that is a medium ranked international airport. Okay, that's a lot of freaking people.
Yes, it is. 15. But you know, also be prepared. You know, if there is an episode next week, then I think that's what we need to do is again go over con preparedness. I'll mention that later. But
BotCon's in 2 weeks.
Yes. I'll tell you after show.
Okay. I was confused.
Yeah. But mainly, I won't be available next week. That's why I'm saying I'm hoping somebody can step in like I did tonight for Michael. But the thing is that every year it's imperative that we do a con preparedness show. A lot of it is repeat of what we've done before, but we like to try to make it specific to the particular con. Like for example, you know, Brett, he and I both live in Kentucky. We can talk about things that are specific to this state and to this region that you might be interested in seeing if you come a few days early. You know, things to know about the area. And be prepared for. And it's not just talking about constink, you know, it's talking about, you know, being smart with your money, being smart with your purchases, and all in all, just enjoying the convention. You know, with this being the final convention for BotCon as we know it, you know, Pete mentioned on the show last week, you know, they've got a lot of things planned for this show. And I'm really excited for it, but at the same time, I'm really bummed because I know it's coming to an end as far as we know it. Yeah. So, you know, it's great to look at things and be prepared. Hopefully we'll have more information on the kickoff party at the zone, the third party room at the convention center a couple blocks down, more third party, or I'm sorry, I keep wanting to say third party, I guess, because it's been part of the discussion tonight, but parts party stuff. If you are going to have a parts party in your room and would like it to be mentioned on TFYLP, you know, we'll mention it for you, you know, but again, check out Mega Toy Fans parts party. You know, deep discounts on classics and Henke items.
And other stuff.
And other
stuff. But that was just something that I wanted to throw out. But absolutely. And like I said, we're going to.
There might be a few jump starters in there, too.
There might be.
Offer him a buck. He might take it.
I don't know. I still got a big bag of them.
He does lots of things for a dollar.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we're going to have absolutely all the parts parties. All the parts. And I'm choking. Yeah. It's really getting to me. We're gonna have thousands. I mean, it's gonna be a lot.
What you're gonna say? What you're saying is that there's nothing you're leaving back at home.
No, we're taking everything. Kitchen sink. We're gonna take it all.
The kitchen
sink. I mean, consider the implications of this. You know how major this is gonna be. This is going to be the final ever BotCon Mega Toy Parts Party.
Right.
I mean, exactly. He's going all out, people.
Yes. And like I said, you know, if I'm not able to be on the show next week, which I don't think I will be able to, I'll be honest. I will be helping out with the Capture Prey booths. So if you want to say hi to me and talk to me about the show, I'll be at the Capture Prey booth along with Jim Black. He's joining us as a Capture Prey helper.
I'm helping.
Yay! also, Megamus will be at his booth, the Mega Toy Fan booth. Be sure to stop by and see him. Give him your monies and tell him how much you love the show. Plasticon, mm-hmm. We wish you were there too, man. But you're in Texas. So.
It costs too much money to go, guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be there.
If anybody watching lives in Texas, kidnap him and bring him with.
Yes. Yes, but we're a lot of us going to be there. I know Michael Swift, Cyburn 2, he's going to be there. Headmaster Don is a staple of BotCon. He will be there. So pretty much a good portion of the cast. Daniel, Protoman, he will be there, of course. So a good portion of the TFYLP cast will be there. Be sure to tell us what you think of the show and give us ideas, feedback. We love to hear from you. Like, share, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Double Twist, wherever you consume this fine show that we produce here each week. And also follow us on Twitter at TFYLP and on our Facebook group. Join in there. Anybody else have any closing thoughts before we wrap?
I am stoked for BotCon, and I am especially looking forward to the concert that's going to be put on by Vince DiCola and Stan Bush. That's going to be epic. Not miss it.
Absolutely. How about you, Brett?
You know, if you want to take a raffle and maybe win a chance, you know, have a chance at winning a vintage G1 Grand Maximus, you should probably stop by.
Is it in box?
I do believe so.
Wow. That is a prize. I mean, about the only way you can top that is have a lucky draw.
Well, he's also got a Victory Leo gift set that he's raffling off also. I put a link in the Facebook.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's going to be pretty good. Pretty good.
How about you, Plasticon? Any closing thoughts on the episode tonight?
All I got to say is, guys, just be careful when you're traveling. Be safe. Take really good care of, like, how much money you're spending, because my suggestion for you guys who actually are going to BotCon, just be aware of how much money you're spending. Shop the entire place before you start dropping any money, because you never know. You'll never know. Even Megamus will even tell you that. He's walked two tables down, like, holy crap, snagged it because it was, like, cheap. So just shop around.
All I'm saying is last year, $35 Masterpiece Star Saber.
Yes.
All I got to say is when we were at TFCon, me and Megamus stood across the way, and a guy had a, what was that, Six Night that was sitting there?
Mm-hmm.
And we should have walked over and snagged it because it went for pennies compared to what it normally did. Thank God it ended up a Proto Man's lot, but, you know, you never know what you're going to find.
Going off what you said about the, make sure to budget your money accordingly, This is just for memory. One of my very first BotCon memories was BotCon 06. As the show was shutting down, there was an individual going around to different booths trying to sell off the last of what he had from his booth simply so he could get gas money to make it back home. He overspent.
Wow. And wouldn't
have been stranded at the con there in, what was that, Lexington? And
2006?
Yeah, in 06. And I never did find out if the guy, I mean, I'm sure he eventually made it home with the stuff, but I don't know how that was resolved. So don't be caught in that kind of situation. You know? Part of staying safe is making sure you have resources as well at your disposal.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I believe we've had a great episode tonight. I want to thank everyone who has listened to us tonight and participated via social media. Loved all your comments and likes and shares and retweets. It's very much appreciated. Thank you all for joining us this week. This has been Deron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, along with Plasticon, Jason Walston, Brett Lovell, a.k.a. Megamus, and Jim Black, a.k.a. Moroni Prime. We will see you next time on TFYLP. Like, share, and subscribe. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.